You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
By now, you would have felt the effects of foot and mouth disease, more so when sourcing beef for your favorite meal prep. In May, price inflation for beef was up across various products, including beefsteak, stewing beef, and beef mince. Countries like China, Namibia, and Zimbabwe have since suspended beef imports from South Africa as a consequence. Dr. Tracy Davids is Executive Director of Commodity Markets and Foresight at the Bureau for Food and Agriculture Policy, and she joins us on the line to take a look at this. Thank you very much, Doc, for your time this afternoon. Is that correct? Are we still there with China, Namibia, and Zimbabwe suspending beef imports from South Africa?
Hi, it's great to be here. Yes, I do believe that is the case. And of course, it's a pity for our producers because the global market has actually been fairly strong this year. And if you look at our performance through quarter one, our beef exports in particular were very strong. We were up almost 20% compared to the same period a year ago. So it is a pity, but unfortunately, it is a risk that we've been faced with for some time in terms of disease management and how that does impact our ability to export from time to time.
Mm-hmm. This risk that we have been facing for quite some time, as we speak today on the 7th of July, where do we sit? What is the latest?
Yeah, I think it's tricky at the moment because it's obviously widespread across Gauteng. It's in a number of feedlots, which is something that we haven't necessarily had to deal with before. And, these feedlots have very stringent biosecurity measures at the facility. So in that sense, it is a bit of a concern that it got in there. But I think there are strong protocols in place in terms of how you handle it. A lot of vaccines have been procured already. So there are movement controls being applied to those facilities, which is one of the reasons why we're seeing less production in the market at the moment. But there is a distinct protocol to go through, and I think they've made good progress with that. But of course, it's on individual farms, so one doesn't have all the exact information as to how far they are in those steps. But there is a process that they will go through before they can enter the market again.
Ah, okay. A couple of days ago when I checked, I understood it to be only one feedlot that was impacted. And you just mentioned there are a number of feedlots that have since been impacted. Is that a correct understanding that it's more than one now?
I guess it depends how you interpret it. It's a company, but it is in more than one of their sites, as I understand it.
All right.
But it's not across a number of different companies at this point. Mm-hmm. It is also important to say, Curran Beef that's had the outbreak is a very big producer in South Africa, and their feedlot in Heidelberg in particular is a very big one. But they do also have a number of what they call satellite facilities, smaller feedlots in different places that they also at times use as part of their biosecurity measures, but those are unaffected. So it's not that they are not supplying at all. Those broader facilities are still running.
Okay. I don't even know if this is a correct question, but when it comes to maybe a timeline, Doc, if there's such a thing in the space, or when is it comfortable for us to say, phew, we can breathe a sigh of relief that we are nearing the end of foot and mouth throttling our throats in the country?
Yeah, I think it's, that's probably a question best asked to those affected. As I said, one doesn't have all the information in terms of how they're progressing. Normally, you would look at least 28 days of movement restrictions on a facility where that was impacted. Now, I'm not, I don't have all the information in terms of how far they are with the vaccination program, et cetera. But, that product, FMD is different to other diseases in the sense that it's not widespread culling. So it's because of the movement restrictions, that product is not entering the market at the moment, but it will be able to enter the market later. So I do believe and hope that the price pressure that we're currently facing, which I must say is partly because of FMD, but also partly because of other factors. Our beef prices had started increasing prior to this outbreak already. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I think, we've seen very good cooperation between industry bodies, private sector, government to really try and get this under control and to try and move forward from it. So we are positive that we've probably reached the peak in terms of prices and that we will see them coming down a little bit later in the year.
Yeah, because supply chains have been disrupted. I mean, we're seeing some of the shop owners saying that, for instance, they have to up the prices where where beef is concerned. And so how should maybe the consumer understand this? Maybe what is your final word for the South African consumer?
Yeah, look, I think it's, of course, a tricky thing to deal with because we have seen prices increase significantly, and South Africans do have a preference for beef. They are big consumers of beef. And our consumers have been under pressure for some time. Now, the spending power is a little bit limited. So the extent of price increase that they're able to absorb is limited. And I think in that sense, we've probably, you know, part of why we say we've reached the peak is because we are seeing consumer resistance to these price levels. So we do also think that consumers will look to other meat types, you know, things like pork, poultry. There are alternative protein sources which consumers will probably look to in the short term. And once we start to see that beef supply recovering and those prices start to come down again, then they may switch back to beef again.
Doc, this is probably the first question I should have asked, but now it's the last. Just for the purpose of our viewers, help us understand the work of the Bureau for Food and Agriculture Policy.
Yeah, so the Bureau for Food and Agricultural Policy, we're an independent research institute. We're a multidisciplinary team spanning agricultural economics, engineering, data science, IT, and we really strive to provide independent information to the sector. I think the team is multidisciplinary, but we all share a common passion for agriculture, and we would like to see agriculture succeed and really make the contribution that it can make to the economy in South Africa. So we strive to deliver analysis that informs decision making so people can make the best data-informed decisions and so shape their strategies for a successful future.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Dr. Tracy Davids is Executive Director of Commodity Markets and Foresight at the Bureau for Food and Agriculture Policy.